Thank you, Dwight. With an abundance of kind words, we show our love one to another. It's so good to see all of you here this morning. And it really is nice to see Neil Locke here this morning also, who is a patient out at True Care and was able to come this morning. Kyle was able to get you here, and we're thankful and grateful that you're here this morning. You know, you and I, every one of us, have great difficulty dealing with the tongue because we often say things that we regret. We often leave unsaid the things that ought to be said. And this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about taming the tongue. I don't know how many of you in a day's time might say something critical of someone, or maybe you would say something disparaging about them. I believe that there are times, perhaps, when we in actuality need to be what I would say, tongue-tied. Tongue-tied. And if I were to ask you the question this morning, are you tongue-tied? Do you bite your tongue before you speak? We have to control the tongue. In the book of James 3, verse 1 through 12, the Bible teaches that you and I are to be in control of our tongue. And I'll tell you why you need to be in control of it, is because you cannot tame the tongue. You can't. James says you can tame every beast of the field almost, but you cannot tame the tongue. We have to be in control of our tongue. Watch our words. Watch what we say. And so this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about how we go about doing that and what does the Bible actually say about taming the tongue. First of all, I want to talk to you a little bit about the power of the tongue. How many of you heard that old little adage that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? There is no greater truth than that one statement. Words can kill, words can assassinate, words can destroy. And when you think about the power of the tongue, I have to go to the book of James. In James chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, the Bible teaches that that the tongue is a fire that is raging, and it is. James compares the tongue to a fire. And if we cannot control the tongue, we can't control our body. But if we can control the tongue, then we can control the body. We can. James says that we put bits in horses' mouths to control them, to either make them go right or go left, whatever. And that a boat or a ship is controlled by a little small helm or what we would refer to as a rudder. I'd like to read the book of James chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 now, where the Bible says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body. Now I want you to think about what he said. He says that the way we use our tongue, the words that we employ, can result in the defilement of the body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. How many times have you ever heard people say, "Well, I don't care what I say. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference." Well, you know what? It should make a difference to us. If we're speaking truth, don't apologize for it. You know what? I preached a lot of sermons from this pulpit, and I make no apologies for preaching truth. Now, if I offend you personally beyond what I teach concerning truth, then I would be the very first to apologize to you. But I don't apologize for teaching truth. And truth can sometimes make people mad, and truth can often offend people. That young man that came to Jesus and wanted to know how to get into heaven, he got offended because Jesus said, "Go and sell what you have and give to the poor and come and follow me." Paul said in Galatians 4:16, "Am I become your enemy because I declare unto you the truth?" You and I, before you speak, I want you to think about this. Before you speak, think. Think. It is true. Should be one question we ask ourselves. Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? You know what? If we allowed our words to pass through that gate of gold with those few thoughts, we'd be very careful in what we say. Now, let me talk to you about something else. The power of the tongue is one, but let's talk about the need to tie the tongue. The tongue is a fire. I mentioned that a moment ago, and it is so true. It is a fire. It is raging. It is burning. You can destroy it. That's why the Bible calls it a fire. You can destroy something with your tongue. You can. You can assassinate an individual's character, their reputation, with your tongue. And it can be irreparable. Words often are like milk that is spilled on the ground, the biblical writer says, and it cannot be gathered up again. The tongue is destructive. It is. Words can kill, all right. They can destroy. When I think about the need to tie the tongue, the reason the Bible teaches that, I think, is the fact, as James mentions here, that the tongue is a poison. It is. Have you ever noticed how often people gossip? How many of you people gossip? Not a one of you gossip. Oh, bless your little hearts. I can see I should be down the road at another church. People gossip. I've heard people say, well, I don't gossip about my neighbor. What I say is fact. You know what? It doesn't make any difference whether it's factual or not. There is what we call malicious gossip. I've even had people, believe it or not, and I've told you this before, I think, but it's true. I've had people gossip in their prayers. Really. However, in that form of gossip, pretending that they're informing God, they're informing the church. Let me give you an example. God, please bless Sister Jones. You know, she's getting a divorce from her husband. Now, that's nothing more than gossip. And that's a horrible thing. It is. Slander is another. That means you say things that are not true. Even when you know it's not true, you continue to say it. I've told you sometimes that happens. You see things on the internet, you think it's true. This last week, there was a big rumor going around that they were going to build a 57-acre adult theme park out behind McCoy's. Rumor. Someone put a satire on his website and everybody jumped on it. We had a meeting down at City Hall. What the city council was doing was trying to actually set a zone that would prohibit them from just landing anywhere in the city that they wanted to land. There are no plans at the present for anyone. And I'll have to admit to you, I bit into it too. I thought, man, we got to do something about this. And I found out the truth. I said, hey, isn't that the way it really is? All kinds of rumors make their way. I've learned to be more cautious in terms of checking out information before we repeat it. The tongue is untamable. Have you ever noticed how you can tame almost anything? I mean, you can tame lions and tigers and elephants to stand maybe in one place with a little old bitty chain, and they say eventually you can take that chain off and that elephant's going to stand there. I've seen husbands that are tamed. I mean, their wives have been on them so long, they're just tamed. You can tame just about anything in the world. You can even tame chickens. but the tongue you cannot tame. For Proverbs says in the book of 18, and chapter 18 rather, in verse 21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Think about that. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the Holy Scripture says, for he that would love life, this is important, folks. He that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. That word guile is deceit. He says, if you want to see a good life, you want to have a good life, watch your tongue and your lips that they don't engage in hypocrisy. The word refrain is an interesting word. The word refrain actually means to restrain a thing or a person from something. You have to restrain the tongue, folks. And you have to think before you speak. Sometimes we don't. Let's talk briefly about the correct and the incorrect use of the tongue. By the way, God gave us one tongue and two ears. That tells me that we ought to be listening more than speaking. Think about this. What are some correct uses of the tongue? Well, we should be blessing God with our tongue. This morning, you had an opportunity to sing praise unto God with your tongue. You did. Some people never sing, and yet in the book of Ephesians 5 and verse 19 says we're to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We bless God when we offer up our praise unto Him. We bless God when we pray. One way, correct use of the tongue, is to pray. How often do you pray to God? To use your words. The Bible says that we ought to pray without ceasing. Pray and faint not, Jesus said. We encourage. One constructive thing we can do with our tongue is to encourage. A lot of people go through life discouraging, all right, but not encouraging. Have you ever thought about all the passages of Scripture, things Jesus said and the apostles wrote about encouraging one another? Hebrews 10, 24. I mean, we could go on and on. Galatians chapter 6, many, many of them that tell us how we can encourage one another. But sometimes we go through life, and in the church, we never encourage one another. We just sit back and wait for everybody else to encourage us. Sometimes these people would say, well, I went to church the other day and no one spoke to me. Well, bless your heart. When was the last time you spoke to someone? Sometimes people make such a mad dash out the building, I think we're going to have a stampede before the closing song. We bless God when we sing, as I mentioned a moment ago, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Singing. Singing unto God and encouraging one another. Those are constructive ways. Those are the correct things that we can do with the tongue. But let's really get down now to the nitty-gritty and talk about some of the things that we should not do. The incorrect use of the tongue. Number one, lying is one of them. Anybody in here guilty of lying? No. You just did. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Lying is an incorrect use of the tongue, and it will send your soul to hell, according to Revelation 21 and verse 8. Profanity is another one. There are some people who allow their conversation to be laced with profane words over and over and over again. It has become commonplace on television and in the movies. There is no restraint. Profanity. I was always taught that a person that had to use profanity had a limited vocabulary. There are other words for your profane words. Gossip and tale-bearing, as I mentioned, is a bad, bad thing. What about murmuring? You know what it means to murmur? That just means that you go around complaining all the time about everything. You complain when it rains. You complain when it doesn't rain. You complain when the sun shines. You complain when it doesn't. You complain when it's cold. You complain when it's warm. You complain when it's hot. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I hope we will be able to do in this church before I leave the world. And that is get the atmosphere in here conditioned where everybody will be happy. Won't happen, David. Won't happen. It's either too cold or it's too hot. Let me tell you something. You can put on more than you can take off. But some people murmur. They go through life murmuring about all kinds of things in life. If they don't have anything to murmur about, they manufacture something. And then what about unjust criticism? We are a critical, critical people. Have you ever noticed how critical we are about everything? I mean, almost without talking about some things that are positive and constructive, after a few minutes, we start talking about things that we start criticizing. You know what we ought to do? We ought to zip our lip. That's true. Zip your lip. You thought I was through. I'm not. Let's talk about some other incorrect uses of the tongue. What about flattery? What do you do when you're... What'd you do this morning when your wife said, "Honey, how do I look?" And she looked like a bale of hay shot out of a cannon. What did you say? You said, "Oh, you're gorgeous." I know, you wanted to live. But some people speak flattering words. Did you know the Bible says, Solomon said that we're not to flatter with our words? But people do it all the time. People flatter one another. So I've seen people flatter women sometimes in their presence, and then they walk off and they say, "Can you believe what she had on today?" Some people compliment my ties to my face. I know what you're thinking. What about evil speaking? Sometimes people just speak evil words. It just flows out because they're not in control. And they don't plan to control it. What about whispering? And when I mean whispering, there again, I'm talking about whispering things that you ought not to whisper. Have you ever noticed when people gossip, it's always like this? "Let me tell you what I heard the other day." Backbiting. People spend a lot of time backbiting. They do. As I said, they treat you one way to your face, but then when they're behind your back, they say things they ought not to say. What about boasting? You ever been around people that boast, that are always tooting their own horn? Their philosophy is if they don't toot it, it won't get tooted. They want to blow their own horn. David said, Lord, put a guard over the door of my lips. Psalms 141 and verse 3. You thought I was through. The incorrect use of the tongue. What about deceit? You ever deceive anyone? You go down to buy a car sometimes. They tell you, oh, this is the best car on the road. You get it home and find out it's the very opposite. What about reveling? People do that all the time. And reviling. And saying things again that revile and reflect the real character, and they revel in it. What about foolish talking? Filthy speech. There are certain words that just must not be used. It is true. We have to watch our thoughts because they become our words. And watch your words because they will become your action. And watch your action because they will become your habit. And your habits will become your character, and your character will become a result in your destiny. Now that's why the Bible says over and over, watch your words, watch your words. In Ephesians 4, verse 29, or let's back up. There is, when we think about all these bad words, there are a catalyst of backbiting and devouring that takes place. Lies and deceit and tale-bearing and cursing and whispering and gossip and strife, contention, slander, false accusations. And Psalms 52, if you don't believe it, tells you what those things can do. And I want you to make it a point to go home and read that today. I'm not going to read it for you. I want you to do it. I want you to go home and read Psalms 52, verse 1 through 5. I'll tell you what Ephesians 4, verse 29 says and following. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We must forgive. I know some people that say, well, there's just no way I can forgive him or I can forgive her. Forgiveness is a reset button that God gives us when our relationships become short-circuited. You know, people that cannot forgive, and I'm going to tell you something. I saw a little bumper sticker the other day I thought was really, really good. There are some people who go through life and leave their mark. There are others who go through life and leave a stain. Paul says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. None. When I read that passage, that's what it says to me. But that which is good, that which is for the use of edifying. You know what that means? It means to build up. All bad speech should be put away. And be kind one to another. For Psalms 19 and verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There are five things that you and I ought to observe. First of all, to whom you speak. If you're going to listen, you better be careful of who you say something to. I've learned that in life. And you can often say to someone, even when you take them in confidence, I'm going to tell you this, but I want to tell it in confidence. I don't want it to go any further than this. Please, I'm not trying to assassinate anybody's character or anything else. I just needed to talk to someone. I've had them come to me before and do that. You better hold what they tell you in confidence. think, to whom you speak, and then of whom you speak, how you speak, when you speak, and where you speak. In other words, James says, control the tongue. Control your tongue. You can't tame it. You have to control it. And James 1 and verse 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Again, two ears, one tongue. In Matthew 12, you want to talk about the seriousness of it. In Matthew 12 and verse 37, Jesus said, for by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. Your words. You could come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday night. You could be at ladies' Bible class. You could come to Monday night for the master. You could show up for every worship service of this church and still go to hell because of your words. I have observed in life that your day will go the way the corners of your mouth turn. You can either look like that or this. Which do you choose? I think it was Theodore Roosevelt who said, it is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, and we're quick to do that, or whether the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. It is true, folks. David said in Psalms 51:10, create within me a new heart, O God, my Lord and my Redeemer. And the way you create a new heart in a person, I'm going to tell you something. I've seen people in my lifetime who use nothing but profanity over and over and over again. But when they were transformed by the power of Jesus, I'm going to tell you something, it changed their language. They watched their words, what they said. And I'm going to tell you something, it is the only thing that will cause a man to change the way he speaks. Become a Christian. You want to change your life? You want to get in control of your words? Be a Christian. And if you're a Christian, start living like one. The Bible says that we're to repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. It is in that act of baptism that a transformation takes place. But let's talk about baptism briefly. Baptism is a burial in water that actually duplicates the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. A burial in water, that's what he says, in order that I may die to my sins and be raised to a new life by my God. Maybe this morning your next step is baptism. If you've never been baptized for the remission of sins, that's your next step. That's where you start. You'll never be able to control your tongue or anything else until you can't control any of it anyway. The reason you become a Christian is the fact that you put God in control. He controls your life. Again, the Bible says to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here's the key. If the Holy Spirit is living in you, you will walk as you ought to walk. And you will be blessed. For Ephesians 1 and verse 3 says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now, let me ask you a question this morning in closing. Isn't it time to really think about making a decision for Jesus? You know, over the last several days, I have presided over 5 different funerals. Some who died in Christ, and some who did not. Some were ready, some were not. And because they were not ready, didn't that negate the fact that there is a hell awaiting those who are not ready? Don't you think maybe this morning that you've waited long enough? How long will you wait? Just when will you decide to become a Christian? And that becoming a Christian is an urgent matter. Do you realize that there are some people in our world who are more interested in where they're going to eat and where they're going to shop than where they're going to spend eternity? What are you going to do? That's a big question. For those who are Christians, it's a big question. Because Christians can be guilty of the very thing that we've talked about this morning. The incorrect use of the tongue. And sometimes hurt. Will always be there. Words hurt. Sometimes it's easier to forgive action than it is to forgive words. That's why it's so important that we watch what we say. Tame your tongue. Tie it. Now this morning, if you're not a Christian, the plan of God, as we've always said, is very simple. And it's so simple this morning, even a young child can understand it and grasp it. That you can come to Jesus by, with your tongue, confessing Christ to be Lord and Savior of the world. God gave you a tongue where you could confess that. And that's a choice that you make. Have you ever thought about it? That one little confession or not making it can keep you out of heaven. I made that confession when I was 13 years of age. Never regretted it. Always remember it. The morning I stood before the church and made my confession of faith in Christ to be the Son of God, and I was taken and lowered in water and raised out of that water in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And from that moment on, I have endeavored to glorify God with my mouth. And I always will. This morning, I hope that's your aspiration and your desire as well. David selected a song of encouragement that we're going to sing here. And if you need to come to Jesus this morning or perhaps repent of words said, then we urge you to do that while we stand and sing.